لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاحت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: ومن جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the marhumin of brother, lady, his parents and his wife's parents. We find in Kalimatullah, it has been narrated that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said that there is an angel of Allah who comes on behalf of Allah, and every day to announce this reality in front of the humankind that Ya Abna al-Ashreen, O those who belong to the 20s, Jiddu wajtahidu, that means do your efforts. We should not waste our time, we should not be lazy, we should not be wasting our times in unnecessary, useless, purposeless things which are categorized as lahw and la'ib in Islam. Basically, our scholars say that a child, when he in his initial years of life, in his initial childhood, he first enters into the stage of lahw. You find the children busy in doing things which has no purpose. It's a waste of time. No hadaf, no goal, no ghayat. That's how Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayh has defined lahu. Lahu is defined that
cheezi ke ghayati juz khayal na dashte bashad.
Anything which has an imaginary goal. It doesn't have any real goal in our real life. Basically, it's a purposeless thing. That's exactly what the children do in their initial stage of life. And then, after crossing the stage of lahav, doing purposeless things, then they enter into the stage of la'ib. They start playing, they have toys, they have games, and they spend their hours of life in playing. That's what they enjoy. That's basically their stage of life. Because their spiritual and mental rushd and growth is not of the level to realize, to perform a responsible behavior. This is exactly what we call when we reach the age where you realize to have a responsible behavior. Whether you realize or you don't realize, Allah is asking you to realize. You are supposed to realize. As soon as you step into the sinnut taklif, when we become mukallaf, then we are supposed to realize that now onwards we are obliged, so we need to have a responsible behavior. Because now we are mukallaf. And since then, we have to perform those duties which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has obliged us. So, when we reach the age of taklif, we are supposed to be such that now we have gotten rid of lahav and la'ib in our life. Because we have already crossed those stages. This is how Islam expects from us. And as we cross into, and I told you already in the other Thursday, I think two Thursdays ago, we discussed that statement of Sayyid Mahdi Tabatabai, Bahrul Uloom, Rahmatullahi Alayhi, where he said that lahu in Islam is not just, unnecessary, purposeless talk, like some people think. Talking things which doesn't make sense, doesn't have any, reasonable, wise goal. No, it's not just about talking. Anything that you perform with, even with the parts of your body, that is not expected, that is not demanded by Allah from you. Anything that does not provide nuraniyat to your qalb, anything which has no reward on the Day of Judgment, is also categorized as lahu. So it's not just about statements, as some people think. Lahu means talking senselessly and purposelessly. No, this is not the real definition. So by the time we reach the age of 20, and we are in the 20s, we are supposed to be not just already realized what our duties are, but instead we should be doing further efforts and mujahadat in our duties. Jiddu wajtahidu. This angel announces on behalf of Allah every day. Prophet said, every day he announces and he says to the humankind that ya abna al-ishreen, jiddu wajtahidu. Oh, you who are in your 20s, do your efforts. So we must be at that stage. We have to be in a stage where we are seriously doing the right stuff with efforts. And you must have heard so much from the scholars about how much stress Islam has laid on the youth and the children. You know, alaykum bil ahdath, like Amir al-Mumin alayhi salam says, that you got to be basically focusing on the youth. Ahdath means the people of young age, the children, the youth. And al-ilmu fi al-sirar kal-naqshe ala al-hajar, learning in the early age is just like mark on the stone. And al-ilmu fi al-kibar, and learning in the elderly age is kal-naqshe ala al-ma, is like writing something on water. How long it's gonna last?
You can understand if you write something on water, what is the duration time of that writing? So these things have been already told in Islam to us, that we have to focus on the youth, just like the common example given, of a tree. You want to mold and trim and mold a tree in its specific direction, then basically you have to do it in the early stage, not when the stem is already strong. So this is about the youth and the young age, where we have to be very energetic and doing efforts in the path of our taklif from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now when we step into the 30s, the hadith says that basically the angel addresses those people belonging to their 30s, Ya Abna al-Salaseen, La tahurrannakumul hayatul dunya. The life of this dunya, life of dunya should not fool you. Life of dunya should not make you proud. You should not get engaged. You should not get involved in the life of this dunya. This usually happens for most of the people on this planet, because basically a lot of people in their 30s are already in their settled lives. They may have married, they may have children, and now they must be having some jobs, working and living in their houses, you know, starting established life in that stage. So when you are in a job, when you are in a family, when you are living established life, this is the time where you are most likely getting involved and entrapped in the material, temporary belongings. So don't get proud of those things. Nothing of dunya is going to remain. So,
in another hadith we find Amir al-Mu'min al-Islam saying that لَوْ أَقَلَ أَهْلُ الدُّنْيَا لَخَرِبَتْ.
If the people of dunya were aqil, dunya would have been destroyed. So basically, our Islamic definition of aqil would have taken us to a level where we will be focusing on constructing our akhirat, not focusing on constructing our dunya at the cost. It's not haram in Islam to construct this dunya, you know. But what is problematic is constructing dunya at the cost of destroying the akhirat. And then the Prophet said that the angel, you know, angel says, addresses to the people who are in their 40s, Ya Abna al-Arba'een, O you who are in your 40s, Ma a'dattum لِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ. What did you prepare for meeting with your Lord? So at the age of 40 is a very full age, in the sense, full in the sense the aql of the person has already Islamically reached its peak. Wherever you want to reach, this is your peak of your aql. Your jism, your body, your physique, your anatomy, and anatomically, physically, your body has also reached its kamal and fullness and perfection. You're not going to grow your taller in your 50s and 60s. It's not going to happen. Whatever body shape, size, you know, figure you're going to have, that's it. So basically, age 40 is the age where a person reaches his level of of his body and his aql and his wisdom and all that. There is a room for change any time Islamically, but usually for most of the people that's the case. So when we reach at that stage, we have to be in a stage where we have prepared ourselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for death basically. لِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ مَا أَعْدَدْتُمْ لِلِقَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ. What have you prepared for meeting with your Lord? Meeting with your Lord means death. So at the death is maut, is the liqa'ullah. So basically, what have you prepared for death? And another hadith of the Holy Prophet says that when a person reaches the age 40, Allah commands to the angels who are assigned on him. You know, we have Raqib and Atid. Minimum two, and maximum in the hadith, in Tafsir Nur al-Thaqalain from the Holy Prophet, we have hadith that every woman has 160 angels assigned. Depending on your level, of course, which level of ma'rifat and taharat you belong, how many angels will come on you.
differs from person to person. Minimum is 2, maximum 160. So, and maybe for some people it's more than that. So, but we have a lot of angels assigned on us. Now, these angels of Allah who are doing their assigned tasks perfectly, how God has commanded, being infallible. Allah, when the person reaches the age 40, Prophet says, Allah commands those angels, غَلِّضَ وَشَدِّدَ عَلَيْهِ. That means be harsh and severe upon this guy. After reaching age 40, there is no further leniency that could be done towards you. You have already reached your age of kamal of aql and kamal of your body, and now you are supposed to be in a very stable stage of Islamic intellect. And also in another hadith we have Satan, Shaitan, comes he rubs his hand on the face of a person who still did not quit doing sins. He has reached the age 40 but is still busy in doing sins. Shaitan comes and rubs his hand on the face and he says that بِأَبِي وَجْهٌ لَا يُفْلِحْ. May my father be sacrificed on this guy. This is a guy who is not going to succeed. So basically, I mean, a person has reached the age 40 but he still did not realize how he was supposed to behave towards Allah. He did not prepare himself for death. So 40 is an age which is the sign of where the alarm bell rings. Now if we pay attention to this alarm bell, we are wise. We are still wise. If we don't pay attention to the alarm bell, basically this person is a loser. We must understand he is in khusran. He is in khusran and loss. He is a loser. And in another hadith, the Holy Prophet has said that مَنْ بَلَغَ الْأَرْبَعِينَ وَلَمْ يَأْخُذِ الْعَصَى فَقَدْ عَصَى. Whosoever reaches the age 40 but he doesn't take a stick in his hand, he did a sin. This has been interpreted by Imam Khomeini radwanullahi alayhi in his book of about Tazkiyatun Nafs, where the purification of the soul, where he interprets this hadith of the Holy Prophet, that actually what Prophet means by taking asa in your hand when you reach the age 40, the Prophet means asa of ihtiyat. If you have reached the age 40 but you don't take a stick, which means asa in your hand, then you did a sin. That means you have already reached the age 40 but you are still not careful. So basically you did a sin. This is what sin would be bigger, that you don't care about Allah. So, asa is a kinaya for safar. When do you take asa and stick in your hand? When you're about to do a travel, you're about to leave. So basically, you're reaching age 40, you should be prepared for death. You are not prepared for death. So basically, because you didn't take asa in your hand, so you're not prepared for death. Because you didn't go the path of ihtiyat, for preparing yourselves to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And, this ayat of Holy Quran which I recited in the beginning, مَنْ جَاءَ وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whosoever comes, وَمَنْ جَاءَ, whosoever comes, بِالْحَسَنَةِ, whosoever comes with a good deed, فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا, he has 10 folds, 10 of the similar kind. That means you do one good act, you get 10 times reward. دَهْ بَرَبَرْ سَوَابْ. And my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Amuri Hafidhullah was saying in the tafsir that basically the ayat says وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِالْحَسَنَةِ. You have to reach, this ayat is referring, is talking about the Day of Judgment. This ayat is not talking about this world. Ayat is referring to the Day of Judgment. So whosoever can bring his hasana, his good deed, till the Day of Judgment, certainly Allah is going to give him 10 folds of the reward. No doubt. That's the ayat of Quran. But it is hard for a person to reach the Day of Judgment with the good deed. It's hard for a person to reach Barzakh with the good deed. What to talk of the Day of Judgment?
It's hard for a person to, we have to be careful in our lives every moment to protect ourselves and protect our good deeds. You know, just like the Holy Prophet was once talking to his ashab and companions, and he said, whosoever says, you know, Subhanallah walhamdulillahi wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar, Allah plants one tree for him in the paradise. And one of the persons, one of the ashab, stood up in the gathering and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I'm very happy because that's exactly what I was saying since the morning. Since today morning, I was saying this dhikr. So by now, I must be having a lot of trees in the garden.
When Prophet heard that statement, he said that, Iyakum an tursilu ilayha niranan fatukhrikuha.
Yes, but don't, but beware, don't send a fire to that garden that you destroy the whole garden.
Oh.
So as soon as we do sins that, in you know, in those sins which destroy the hasanat will be gone. So when the verse of Holy Quran says, Man jaa bil hasanati falahu ashru amsaliha, we have to reach the day of judgment, Yawm al-Jaza, to get the 10 times of the reward. It's hard to even keep the hasanat in this life. What you talk of taking the hasanat in the grave? Its grave is also part of the mawaqif of Qiyamah already. You know, if Abat ibn Adam qamat qiyamatuhu, when a person passes away, his qiyamah has already started. So, taking the a'mal with ourselves, having hasad. Hasad towards your fellow mu'min brother. This hasad destroys, one of those sins that destroy all the previous hasanat is hasad. If any mu'min has hasad and envy towards his fellow mu'min brother, his hasanat are gone. Another sin that destroys the hasanat and good deeds is ghibat. You do 1,000 good deeds and after that you perform a backbiting, a ghibat, and the whole thing is gone. So, I have written here a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam, that is from Tuhaf al-Uqul, where he says that, Ay Bunayya, talking to the son, Oh my son, Al-Afiyatu, please pay attention, Al-Afiyatu Ashratu Ajza, Afiyat is of 10 parts. What is Afiyat? I have already defined it in different speeches of mine earlier, but those of you who were not present, I will define once again. Afiyat is defined in Islam as that nur found in the qalb of a person which forces you to always obey Allah and the commands of Allah. If you have the nur in your qalb which always forces you to obey the commands of Allah, that means you have the tawfiq of afiyat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is called afiyat. So in any intersection of your life, and at any instance of your life, are you ready to obey Allah? Obey the farman, the command, the amr of Allah, then you have the ni'mat of afiyat given to you. If you don't obey the command of Allah, then you don't have afiyat. So Imam Ali alayhi salam says that, please pay attention, Al-afiyatu ashratu ajza. Afiyat has 10 parts. Tis'atum minha fis-samt. 9 of those parts are in silence. You stay quiet. And you don't talk. How much stress Islam has laid if you just open up the hadith from Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam about the sins that we do through our tongue. We are talking about ribat. Sins that we do with our tongue. So Imam Ali says that afiyat is 10 parts and 9 of those 10 are in silence. Illa bi dhikrillah. Except that if you speak something which is called zikr and remembrance of Allah, that's okay. But if you are not doing the zikr and remembrance of Allah, stay quiet. Wa wahidun fi tarki mujalasati sufaha. 10 parts of afiyat, 9 of the parts, if you want to determine you have the tawfiq and nur of afiyat in your qalb or not, look at the fact, do you stay quiet or you speak up talking things which Allah doesn't like, which is not categorized in Islam, quote unquote, as zikr and remembrance of Allah. If you have the noor of afiyat in your qalb, you will stay quiet unless you speak up with the zikr. And the tenth part of afiyat is tarku mujalasat fi tarki mujalasat sufaha. That means you would stop sitting around and hanging around with the safih and Islamically non-disobedient and silly people who are disobedient towards Allah. Stop sitting around with them. We find some people, they were very nice, very pious, very religious, but as soon as they have bad friendships, as soon as they start sitting around with bad people, they got changed. Their spirituality got changed totally. So basically they lose the tawfiq from Allah, the tawfiq of afiyat. You know, when somebody asked the Holy Prophet, what if I survived till the Laylatul Qadr, Shab-e Qadr? What is the dua that I should ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Shab-e Qadr, in the Laylatul Qadr? The Prophet said, afiyat. If you want to know one dua that you want to ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Laylatul Qadr, that one dua is afiyat. That means Allah give you the noor to obey His command. This noor should come in your qalb that you always obey His command, not obey your desires. This is the best dua that we can ask from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, we find if we have this afiyat and we are obeying, we will be ready to for liqa'ullah. Ya abna al-arba'een, oh those who are in the 40s, ma a'adattum li liqa'i rabbikum, what did you prepare for meeting with your Lord, for liqa with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So are you prepared for death? How would you be prepared for death if unless you have afiyat? So if you have afiyat, that means you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then just like those of the people who never disobeyed, they don't hide, they are happy, they will always be very happy to go and see their teachers, their professors in the schools, in their colleges, in their universities, because they have done the homework, you know. And those of the students who haven't done the homework, they were not present in the classes, they were absent in the classes, they always stayed behind, they will be hesitant to show up in front of the principal, in front of the professor, in front of the teacher. Isn't that right? Because they didn't do the job. So at the age of 40 and in the 40s, we have to be prepared for death. Hazrat, when Malakul Maut came to Hazrat Ibrahim, ala nabiyyina wa alihi wa alihi salam, Khalilullah, the second greatest messenger of Allah. So, and one of those five earlier personalities from the awwaleen, earlier generations, who will be holding the arsh of Allah on the Day of Judgment. So Hazrat Ibrahim is not an ordinary person. When Malakul Maut came to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam, and Hazrat Ibrahim said that I haven't seen that that a friend is ready to kill his friend. Hazrat Ibrahim is the Khalilullah, he's the friend of Allah. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied that, is there a friend who is not ready, who doesn't love to meet his friends? So when we love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then basically that's exactly what death is all about. If we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we will be loving to die. That's why our ulama of akhlaq say that maut is the first happiness for a mu'min. Mu'min is not happy in this dunya, because Imam Ali has said, "Ad-dunya sijnun lil mu'min wa jannatun lil kafir." This world, dunya, is a sijn, is a prison for a mu'min, and a paradise for the kafir. Kafir doesn't have no paradise there, this is his paradise. So, but this dunya is a prison for a mu'min. Mu'min will not be happy. If you are happy in this dunya, you must understand there's something naqs and deficiency in your iman. You know? The mu'min cannot be happy. Just like Imam Khomeini radhiyallahu anhu, he said, the way that when you find the Tahuts praising you, you must understand there's some deficiency in your iman. Why are the Zalimeen and Tawaghit praising you, praising your government, praising your political party, praising you? Because you did something that ends up in their benefit. As simple as that. Instead of taking care of the interests of Quran and Ahlul Bayt, you are doing things, you have done something that ends up in their interests. So if dunya is causing, you know, hardships for us, marhaba bi shi'ar as-salihin. That's how the Prophet said to Hazrat Abu Hurairah, when you see إِذَا رَأَيْتَ الْفَقْرَ مُقْبِلًا, when you see faqr and poverty coming towards you, say مَرْحَبَ بِشِعَارِ الصَّالِحِينَ, welcome to the shi'ar of the good doers. All the salihin were faqir, including Hazrat Khadija was faqir. She didn't use the money for herself, no money belonged to Islam. Practically her own life was like faqir. So, and then the angel says about those who reach 50s. Ya abna al khamsin, atakum al nadhir. That means the warner has arrived. Someone who gives warning has arrived. If 50 is an age where basically we should by now be much prepared for death, you know, paying attention to the warnings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing things which are perfectly according to how He commanded. One of my teachers was telling the story that a person passed away, and after several years, one of his friends, he saw him in the dream, and he asked him, what is your situation? After 16 years that this guy passed away, his friend saw him in the dream, after 16 years of death, and he said, how are you there in the barzakh? And he said, well, I did one namami. Chughalkhori. And because of that, it's now 16 years that I'm stuck there. I'm still not cleared for that one namima, namami that I did. Chughalkhori and namima means that basically you listen one word from this person, this mu'min, and you go into Mr. A and you tell it to Mr. B. So now there's a fight between Mr. A and Mr. B. Because you told this story from Mr. A to Mr. B. And because of this, these two moments are now at odds with each other, and they are now fighting. Because of you telling the story to Mr. B. This is called namima. And these are those of the sins that cause, you know, those punishments that we have heard, so many scorpions and snakes coming in the grave. Namima is exactly one of those sins that causes, you know, this kind of behavior and treatment in the grave. And, yeah, so, and then the hadith says that the angel says, Ya Abna Sittin, oh, those people who are in their 60s, the time of Hasad has arrived, the time where you are, you know, just like the a farmer plants his plantation and then he basically takes away the crops after they ripe. So this is the time that the ripe crop has to be cut and taken away. So this is the time when the person is should be fully ready to go any time in his 60s. It's very unfortunate that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the tawfiq, but even if at the later ages we don't realize our responsibility, this becomes worse in the eyes of Islam. especially in terms of, I will again emphasize, in terms of our tongue, in terms of the conversations we had. I had a teacher who was telling that his friend passed away, and his wife was a Sayyida, Hashimiyya Sayyida, wife was Sayyid. So he saw him in the dream and he said that his lips were cut off, as if somebody cuts his lips and the blood was coming out from the mouth. So he asked him, what happened to you? He said, when I used to call my wife, I used to call her with a name that was kind of, she did not like, kind of insultive, that she did not like that name. So because of me calling my wife with that kind of name, this is the situation with the mouth, that it was, the blood was coming out from his lips as if it were cut with scissors. So things that we do not realize, how we talk to each other, how we behave with each other, and these things pile up one over the other. And this is what is causing, all of a sudden when a person finds that this is the time of death, and he sees the angel of death coming in a form which is corresponding to your level of taharat, or the level of najasat of a person, how many ita'at and how many sins he has, that is going to determine how the angel of death will come to the person, So for Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam once said to Malakul Maut, I want to see how you come towards a mu'min. And Malakul Maut said to him, okay, basically close your eyes and then open it. Hazrat Ibrahim closed his eyes and he opened up the eyes. He found a very nice looking, handsome young man standing in front of him. Hazrat Ibrahim said, if there was no other purpose to die except to have a look at you, it is still worth it. Such a beautiful young man standing in front of him, Nurani person. And then Hazrat Ibrahim said to Malakul Maut, the angel of death, I would like to see how you come to those people who are sinners. And Malakul Maut said, you cannot stand it. Hazrat Ibrahim said, well, I want to see. He said, okay, close your eyes and then open it. And he closed his eyes and opened, and as he had a look at the face and how he was a fiery looking person of flames of fire coming out and with him and all that, so Hazrat Ibrahim became unconscious. And when he came into his conscience once again, Malakul Maut said to him, well, I told you, you cannot stand it. So basically, we realize the benefit of the teachings of the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salatu wasalam, especially at the time of our death. And Ya Abna As-Sab'een Nudiya Lakum Fa Ajeebu, O you who are in their 70s, it has been nida and call, the call of Allah has already been given. So now you have to reply back positively to the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ya Abna As-Samaneen Atatkum Sa'a Wa Antum Ghafilun, O you who are in their 80s, the time has arrived but you are still ghafil and ignorant. So this is basically how how Islam, how the Holy Prophet has informed us to realize. But if we are have been raised in a way with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the love of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, just like we read in Dua Kumail, وَقَلْبِي بِحُبِّكَ مُتَيَّمًا, that means, O my Lord, make my qalb full of your love. That means all a person would do and all a person would think of, all his policies of life, all his actions and behaviors are love-oriented actions that are driven by the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at Hazrat Zainab salamullahi alayha. Our Sayyidina Tawus has narrated that the angels of Allah
were muta'ajjib. Angels of Allah were surprised on the night of Ashura about the khilqat and creation of Hazrat Zainab. Because despite the fact all those sacrifices that were given by Imam Hussein, given by the Ahlul Bayt, given by Hazrat Zainab and her family, and all those sorrows and mashakil and masaib and turmoils that she went through, still after that, in the middle of the night, Hazrat Zainab was standing up and praying the Namaz al-Shab and Salatul Layl. Even on the night of Ashura, she did not miss it. You know, and when she came close to the janazah of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, look at how she's addressing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ. Isn't that the love of Allah? That means, accept from us this sacrifice. That Hazrat Zainab is addressing Allah in the words that accept this sacrifice from us. And when she came in the final moments on the Tilla Zainabiyya and she found Imam Hussein alayhi salam lying there with Shimru Jalisun ala Sadrihi, and Shimr was on the chest of Imam Hussein, holding the beard of Imam Hussein and stopping Imam Hussein. And the final moments, you know, Sahaba Maqatil has narrated, Imam Hussein al-Islam before that, he was looking towards the Qiyam, he was looking towards the tents of Ahlul Bayt, towards the camp of the ladies, that the enemies should not attack on the ladies. Ya Shi'ata ala Abi Sufyan, in lam yakun lakum deenun, fa kuntum la takhafun al ma'ad, fa kunu ahraran fi dunyakum, fa inna al-misal laysa ala minna dinah, uqatilukum wa tuqatiluni. You know, the women have no fault. I am fighting you and you are fighting with me. You know, Imam Hussein Sayyidina Ta'ud says that he fell down several times over his face because he was raising up to look at the Ahlul Haram, but he could not stand because of the injuries that he had. So he had to fall down. And finally, after the sacrifice, when Hazrat Zainab was collecting all the children, collecting every child, you know, the children of Imam Hussein and the Ahlul Bayt and the Ashab, she was collecting. She says that I found Fatima bintul Hussein, the daughter of Imam Hussein. She was lying somewhere in the desert. She, Hazrat Zainab, found her. She held her head, put in her lap. And Hazrat Fatima bintul Hussein, she opened up the eyes. And first thing she complained, first thing she said to her aunt, Hazrat Zainab, you know, that where is my hijab? You know, because of course, the enemies had taken the hijab away. So Hazrat Zainab replied, Ammatuki misluki, you know, your aunt is like you.
وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون إلهي بحق الصخرة وأبيها وبعضها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واقتل الكفار والمنافقين اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين رسيب الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين اللهم فك عن الأسراء المسلمين اللهم وفق لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين. Please recite one Surah Al-Fatiha and three times Surah Al-Ikhlas for the parents of brother Zaidi and his wife.